Thank you, Jeanette. As you can see, the first author is Lauren Ogden, and I'm not Lauren Ogden. She is currently in Tasmania, and so I've agreed on behalf of the research team to present these slides. Nothing to disclose. It's based on an NIAAA grant. Mark Kaplan is the PI, and he's actually presenting on another version of this project at this very minute in another section. So we're having two presentations concurrently, it turns out, and his is in the epidemiology section. So this project focuses on suicide, and as you can see from these statistics, there is a substantial number of deaths, with regard to suicide. And the alcohol component, for those of us in the room who do work policy or research or practice related to alcohol, probably know this relationship. But if you actually go to the suicidology domain, it's quite common to see alcohol overlooked. There's prevention strategies for suicide, and it's surprising to see that alcohol is often downplayed or overlooked in this thing. And one area that has not been as extensively developed has been acute alcohol use. So there's studies with regard to chronic alcohol use and suicide, but I think the acute alcohol use is also an important dimension, and that was the focus of our project. And here's some factors that may explain the relationship between acute alcohol use other research has indicated that the acute alcohol use confers a risk above the risk of chronic patterns of alcohol use. So in some of the cases, the person may not have any history of chronic alcohol use, but the acute alcohol use around the time of the suicide is likely a contributing factor. Alcohol availability has many ways of measuring alcohol availability, and you can see possibly a short list here. And as indicated, it's associated with many problems, associated with chronic disease, with trauma and social problems. There's a very extensive literature about the alcohol availability, and this don't have to tell this audience about that literature, I imagine. Now, we decided to focus on density of outlets. And in our study, we used a fairly straightforward measure of density, as you'll see, the number of outlets per capita, alcohol outlets. There has been some research with regard to showing the association between the overall level of consumption in a country or a jurisdiction and the level of suicide, but. There's been relatively little with regard to the density and suicide, and we were able to get fairly extensive data for this particular study. So here are the aims of this presentation, and you can see we want to estimate the prevalence of alcohol positivity, calculate density of outlets, and look at the association and also look at some relationships with regard to the characteristics of those who were suicide descendants. Now, the National Violent Death Reporting System, NVDRS, is a very, I think, very robust data file, if you will, and the states can buy into this system, and of course, there's not all states have bought into it, but it has several sources of data, as indicated here. It has some demographic information, and also has a very strong data set. So here is a synopsis of the population. Very large data set. We have 72,000 suicide incidents, and then there's 14 states in this particular analysis. Several states we didn't get density data. This is still a work in progress. And then we had county data, and then BAC data. So 69%. Of the cases, we were able to get BAC data, 44,000 cases of the population under consideration. Here are the age-adjusted suicide rates, and you can see, the darker states have a higher rate, over 14 per 100,000, and the lighter ones have lower rates. So there's some variation on that. And these are the states that bought into or are involved in the NVDRS system. So the variables that we looked at was blood alcohol content and coded them in different ways, death certificate information, and then alcohol density, county off-premise liquor licenses numbers divided by a census. And so the density varies dramatically from dry counties to up to 210 stores or outlets per 10,000 population. The analysis looked at the prevalence and means of acute alcohol use by gender were estimated. Hierarchical linear models were used to test the effects of county-level alcohol density on the individual BAC levels, and then the models were adjusted for and stratified by age, gender, race, ethnicity, and suicide methods. So here's some of the results, and you can see a couple of things here that if you use the threshold of 0.08 and greater, a fairly large percentage of the people who committed suicide were above that threshold. So this, as you well know, the threshold, that's a threshold for drinking and driving, for blood alcohol for drinking and driving. And so you can see that a large percentage are above that level. The other thing that is at least noteworthy to me is that there's not much difference between men and women on this, which is a thing very different from what you would find in the general population. In general population, you would generally have probably a 3-to-1 ratio of the percentage of people who would be drinking above, on a typical day, drinking above BAC 0.08 or even greater. So, but here you have very similar levels for men and women in terms of the BAC measure of this population. Here's the mean BAC. So this shows a couple things. One is that you have a higher means among the American Indian and Alaskan Native population. I think there's a pointer here somehow. I don't know how that works. Well. Oh, here we go. So there you go. And then Hispanic is somewhat higher too. And the other populations are lower. White slightly higher than African American, and the Asian Pacific Islander somewhat lower than the other sectors of the population. Now, turning to alcohol availability, you can see this is county level data. You can see that there's a great variation, and again, a measuring in terms of density of outlets per population. And as a previous presenter indicated, you know, there's many different ways of measuring density, and this is the one that we chose. And so you can see there's a great variation in terms of density. Some of the darker colors are the highest density, and the lightest color are lower. So here's the main results, and you can see that there was an association between density of outlets and plus BAC positive for the first row. It was also for men and for American Indian Alaskan Natives, and also for Hispanic. There did not seem to be a significant association between method used, but there definitely was something going on with regard to all descendants. And I think this is actually quite surprising because, the measure of density is not a very refined measure. As I say in a minute, you know, it's and this is very much in line with all, you know, very long line of research on density. Most of the research, counts each outlet as if they're equal to every other outlet. So a huge store that is thousands and thousands of feet of shelf space is basically counted as the same as a tiny, you know, store that basically sells exclusive wines to wine connoisseurs. And so, you know, the density measure is still not a very refined measure, but still you find this relationship here. So we find a greater availability of alcohol is associated with a higher proportion of alcohol-related suicide, and the relationship is strongest among American Indian, Alaska Natives, and Hispanics. We have some limitations. There was state variability in BAC testing. There are some cases where the decedents suspected of not having a chronic alcohol problem may not have been tested. The data is limited to 14 states. And as I said a minute ago, a more refined measure of density would be shelf space, for example, for off-premise outlets. But that would be a huge challenge to get. I would love to get the grant to find that information. It would be a massive job to find that information. We also have a number of strengths. It's the only national data set available to examine blood alcohol among suicide descendants. It's comparable to the entire U.S. population. Some studies have looked at these NBDRS states and done some analysis to indicate that it is comparable. And we have effective policies and programs designed to reduce the incidence of suicide. So future analysis will include on-premise outlets. We did not include them. We ran out of time. We had many, many challenges in terms of trying, you know, we got licensed information basically from each state, contacted the various authorities, and then we'd get these massive lists of outlets. In many cases, it was very challenging, but we overcame the challenges to try to figure out, is this an on-premise outlet, is it an off-premise, is it both, or what is it? And so there's no consistency across the states in how they classify licensees. There's great variation in doing that, and so that was that. So down the road, we're going to be looking at on-premise outlets. The study suggests the strategies to limit access to alcohol among potentially suicidal persons. This may include greater access to screening, brief intervention, referral programs. Maybe somebody in the audience knows. I don't remember seeing much focus on the SBIR programs with regard to, you know, suicide, or, you know, that's where, or people who are potential risk for suicide. So that's some advantage. Modifying alcohol control policy to reduce access to alcohol may reduce the incidence of alcohol-related suicides. And last but not least, I think it's good to think about both population level and individual level strategies as complementing each other. So alcohol control policies and services to people who may be potential suicide risks. You know, we don't really know why increasing access to alcohol potentially increases the risk of suicide. But there may be some hypotheses, there may be some way of exploring that and understanding it better, and that would be also an important thing to consider down the road. So for those who want to get copies of the slides, I'm happy to send them to you. Here are the references that we cite in this study. I won't go over them all, but here are also four publications from the project to date, and there's other papers that are already underway, not yet published. And here's how you can contact me. Thank you very much for your attention. But yeah, that's a very good suggestion. Yeah, thank you.
And then the other issue is the availability, tied up to Tim's work with the whole sort of alcohol policy. The availability is also tied up to the acceptance of alcohol and any of those other kinds of things. And it might be fun wanted to put in some of Tim's state indicators and sort of alcohol policy as a measure.
We thought about some of the other variables. We thought, for example, that hours and days of sale would not vary that much, and the pricing, there might be some variation, but it would be even more challenging to get that variation at the county level. I mean, you can just imagine how much work that would be. So, but I agree, if we look at the work that Tim is doing, that'd be very good. Thank you.
Any other questions? We'll have time at the end of the session also for questions.